Born into a family where I feel seen and valued. As a young child, I remember a very old man at Bart Mennonite Church. Shem Peachy had a long white beard and sparkling eyes, and he connected with the children after church by handing out candy and talking to us. Now, actually, you can tell he must have been very old because it was acceptable for an old man to hand out candy at that point. I also remember the dinner at the home of our slightly younger pastor, Urban Peachy, where we stood around a table with a huge mound of sticky, delicious rice on the table, and we got to eat with our hands. What a gift to grow up in an intergenerational community where I was known and held by a range of ages of kin. Gratitude for the well-known music director, Arnold Mosier, who taught me to sing four-part harmony and then included me in our church's annual Easter trip to sing at the Federal Penitentiary. What a gift, the sheer pleasure of harmonizing my voice and my nervous system with my beloved community. Gratitude to my wild and loving father, who changed his name to Wonder and wanted a tattoo on the bottom of his foot that said love, so he would always be walking in love. What a gift to have a model for being lovingly connected, constantly curious, while also pushing all the edges. Gratitude for my EMC professor, Vernon Jancy, who sent me on a mind-expanding, world-opening, Spanish-speaking year in Costa Rica, and never once berated me for the sometimes totally inappropriate cultural behaviors I engaged in, not to mention all the EMC rule-breaking that happened. What a gift to create spaces where the edges can be explored, and new experiences help me discover what I value in myself and in the world. Gratitude for my husband, Sean Raymer, who wakes up every morning to discuss with AI what his latest projects need, whose capacity to explore how the world works has expanded my view into realms that I never would have even glimpsed without him. Chemistry, biology, physics, technology, nuclear energy, medicine, genealogy. What a life to have a partner who expands and explores this journey with me. Gratitude to Shiloh Mountain Retreat Center, whose tagline is, calling people to be conscious, loving, and fully alive, where fellow journeyers meet for deep weekends of loving community, transformative processes, storytelling, laughing, crying, screaming, healing, discovery, tenderness, and ferocity. What a gift, this community of lovers who are willing to risk such deep vulnerability and connection in service of personal and global healing and transformation. And gratitude for a group of wild, artsy, exploring women who have met for over 25 years on the solar holidays of solstices, equinoxes, and cross quarters to do creative ritual in sync with the seasons of the year and of our lives. What a gift of community that so intentionally and creatively celebrates connections to the circling, changing ebb and flow of life on this earth. And gratitude to CMCL, who has brought me full circle back to both my family and spiritual heritage, and provides a space where all of who I am becoming is welcomed and celebrated, where my questions are considered as valid inquiries and my gifts are put to good use. What a gift of community to continue my faith journey of being loved and known.
Roger Lentz, this I believe. I believe Jesus is who he said he is. As recorded in the four Gospels, I believe Jesus is not crazy or a liar. Beyond that, I believe in assuming absolutely nothing in life other than God is present. My life has been a roller coaster with God as the seatbelt. I believe we can only know God by accepting God as incomprehensible, which in itself is incomprehensible. So what am I left with? Faith and trust. Growing up on a dairy farm, I had numerous brushes with deadly accidents. When I was 4, my mom was leaving to run into town in the Packard, and I thought I was going to help her give the car a push. My hand slipped between the bumper and the body of the car and got locked there. I was dragged about 300 feet on the gravel and onto the country road. The car stopped. I was shredded from my knees down. My mom came out. Later, she said something told her to stop. When I was 11, I was put on the hay wagon alone, hooking bales. I'm left-handed, so I had the hook. It looks like the captain hook. The man driving the tractor was a neighbor. His name was Joe Tice. Joe was hard of hearing. And in order to get him to stop, I had to jump off of the wagon, run past the baler, jump up on the tractor, and tap him on the shoulder. The twiner misfired, and a double bale was coming out. I hooked the bale. I didn't know what else to do. I had to pull that thing out. It was heavier than I was. I was about 13 at the time. The bale flipped as it came out of the chute, flipped over the front of the wagon, and just like that, it took me with it. I flipped over, and the next thing I'm laying there upside down, seeing the edge of the wagon come up, about to come on to my chest and my neck. I was screaming, but Joe couldn't hear. The wagon stopped right before it dropped off the edge of the bale. Later on, Joe said, "Something told me to stop." When I was 10, I fell off of a farm tractor face down. The tractor came up over my head and stopped. My face was in the gravel. My dad and another neighbor lifted the tractor up and pulled me out. This flat spot is what remains. My face was embedded with stones, and it took months for me to heal. Why wasn't I killed instantly? I have taught, performed, and worked all over the world. Japan, Hungary, Canada, Peru, and for 13 years each spring, Moldova. I was waiting for a connecting flight in the Frankfurt airport, and security came up to me and pointed to me and said, "Back to the search room." The guy behind me said, "Hey, buddy, you're going to be strip searched." I said, "It's okay, I've been working out." I have absolute pitch. It's one of the most valuable gifts a composer can have. I can audiate anything, that means hear it in my mind, with no external source of pitch. It allows me to sit by a lake and compose for anything, including an orchestra or chorus. I also have synesthesia, which for me is seeing colors when I hear certain pitches. My son sees shapes when he hears certain pitches. I've been a teacher for 63 years, including 5 in an inner city predominantly black school and 9 in a predominantly Jewish school, as well as 4 universities and privately. I did construction work for several weeks in Shipibo villages along the upper Amazon. They gave me a title, Honimashita. They started calling out as I was digging a footer hole with another Shipibo man, Honimashita, and I looked and they were kind of pointing towards me and smiling. I'm like, Honimashita, what the heck is going on? Later, our team leader said, "That means bald man." But when I returned the following year to the same village, the villagers came out and said, "Honimashita, honimashita," and put these necklaces on me. It was kind of an honor. In April of last year, I was diagnosed with grade 5, stage 4, metastasized, incurable cancer. Today, I am very close to cancer-free. My last PSA number was 0.06. I started at 23. Normal is 4 and under. I've learned much along the way as life pulls back the layers to reveal truth. When I was a faculty member at a prominent Christian university, I learned that a dean of students was telling the students that black and white people are different species, and it is against the laws of nature for them to marry. That was right after I married my wife, a mixed-race Native American, African-American woman. Susan, I guess we missed the memo on that one. At 6 months, our first child, very sweet Adam Christopher, died of meningitis. We went on to have two other beautiful sons. After 24 years of marriage, we separated and eventually divorced. This Thursday, my two granddaughters, my two sons, and their mother, my ex-wife, will be sharing Thanksgiving together for the first time in 25 years. If I can accept the answer given to Moses on the mountain, "I am that I am," which I do, then I can accept "we are that we are." I want us to be with each other, listening, caring, sharing, acting justly, loving mercy, and walking humbly with our God. This afternoon, I'm going to go to a cabin like I do each Thanksgiving. I'll probably be reading and creating, walking, and probably washing a few paper bamboo plates at least once to reuse. Part of the Aaronic blessing. Yevarecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. The Lord bless you and keep you. Baruch Hashem. Bless God. Shalom.
Roger asked that we sing hymn number 162 as a response. We'll sing just the first verse, but let's sing it twice. Let it soak in. And we can stay seated.
Thank you. Thank you so much to Roger and Victoria for your sharing. It's an honor to be among you this morning. And yes, you do hear from me more often with sermons, but there was also something that really drew me about this sort of simpler invitation of a "this I believe" statement, as opposed to the different way of crafting something into a sermon. And so I'm feeling lucky to be participating in the series this year. So, "This I believe." I am trying to believe in radical acceptance. In the meantime, I believe in believing. When I first typed that sentence, it read, "I believe in choosing to believe." But believing already is having confidence in the truth, the existence, or the reliability of something without absolute proof that one is right in doing so. If I could edit that definition, I would say that to believe is to put confidence as opposed to have confidence. And I believe in doing that, in choosing to put confidence in things that you would like to align with or act accordingly with. I can't prove that anything happened the way it says it did in the Bible. If I'm honest, I'm pretty sure of a lot of it didn't. But I love the through line of it, the story that was written by those experiencing and trying to understand. I love the through line as I understand it, which is that love has been at work since before the beginning of time, breathing life into things, saying there is essence, not just existence, seeing potential in things and naming them. That love, like belief, is about choice and that it must be voluntarily given and must be about the desire for mutual good and thriving, which means that love will always need to be chosen over power. And the story doesn't just teach that we're supposed to choose love over power, although it does try to teach that over and over and over again. It's a story that says love over power is the standard, not just a rule for those without power to follow. It's a story that says, no, really, even if God was living among us, even God must choose love over power. And in Jesus, God came and did just that in the story. It says that God is love, not God is power. I am happy to put my confidence in that story, whether or not it's foolish to do so. But it is a choice. And as a pastor, that kind of believing about these ultimate things is something I have to think about a lot and keep my peace with pretty actively in order to come up here on Sunday mornings. But where believing or choosing to put my confidence in things I very much want to be true with no proof to back it up is more difficult for me is in the day-to-day. My counselor is working with me on radical acceptance. And patiently, or well, mostly patiently, working with me on overthinking, which is my first line of defense against radical acceptance, and most things probably. Because I can get so into dissecting what I think about something that I'll never get around to even trying to put my confidence in it. So she suggested that I choose a mantra to repeat every day to break through the overthinking. I might tell you all every Sunday, "You are known and loved by God," as we shared with our fourth graders. We gave it to them in print as a reminder, because I absolutely love it. And when it comes to you, that phrase feels more like fact than belief. I don't really have trouble putting confidence in that. But I think, like many of us, I have to work daily on putting my confidence in that for myself. So instead of choosing a mantra, and she gave me pages and pages of lovely ones to choose from, I ended up writing a mantra song. My goal was to write not just about radical acceptance, but from the point of view of radical acceptance, as an act of belief, of choosing to put confidence in it. Because I am trying to believe in radical acceptance, and in the meantime, I believe in believing. And I believe there is power in putting something you want to put your confidence in into the language of belief, which is probably why I'm here every Sunday doing what I do. So I'm going to share this "Be Nice to Me" very newborn song It's called Spiral. It's about radical acceptance, and important things don't always have to be serious. So yes, it's about being a snail.
How sweet it is to be born like you're born, and I was born with a shell to shelter in. It grows with me, and it goes where I go, as I go from leaf to leaf in the garden. It's a little bit of heaven to have this home sweet home ever with me. I'm ever home. How sweet it is to live how you need to, and I need to have the space for my antenna to see for me, and to feel where I'm going as I go from leaf to leaf in the garden. It's a little bit of heaven to have this home sweet home ever with me. I'm ever home. How sweet it is to love like we love, and I love to live beside you in the garden. My shell by your shell, I go where you go, and we go from leaf to leaf in the garden. It's a little bit of heaven to have this home sweet home ever with me. I'm ever home. And when it's all too much and the forecast calls for mutter, I can go just for a while into this golden shell made just for me, to spiral in when I need to, spiral in a good way. I spiral in so I can spiral out to you. How sweet it is to be born like you're born, and I was born with a shell to shelter in. It grows with me, and it goes where I go, as I go from leaf to leaf in the garden. It's a little bit of heaven to have this home sweet home ever with me. I'm ever home.
Thank you.